Today is November 14th, 2016, the 13th of March, Marchesh from Tavshanayin Zion, and we are up to Halacha Day of Perek Tes, the ninth Perek of Shmos. This one was also hard finding a real halachic topic, at least found within the text, but there is a sort of an outside theme topic here, and actually one is very explicit in the Makkah of Dever, which of course is the Makkah of pestilence. Of the animals are all dying, that there was a disease imposed upon the animals. There are other plagues as well, where the animals were affected. The animals had to be brought inside. They had to be brought inside because of the Barad. I think there's one other one that they had to be brought inside. So that sort of raises, at least in the question in one mind, the issue of Tsar Bali Chai, the issue of causing pain to animals that is discussed in some places in the Gemara. We'll get to it shortly. But there is this concept that is mentioned that one should avoid causing pain to animals. So this idea shows itself most prominently in the sugya towards the end of the second parak above Metziah. What is the second parak above Metziah? But we just got through this in the Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago. The second parak above Metziah has to do with is Eila Metzius, the finding things, the halos of Hashavas Aveda. That is found throughout the second parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. And as you get towards the end, you get to a sort of tangential topics to the idea of Hashavas Aveda. And one of the issues discussed is the mitzvah of Prika and the mitzvah of Te'ina, the mitzvah of removing objects from an animal and the mitzvah of helping to load an animal. The animal is being overburdened, so one is supposed to help unload them. And it also says, the Pasuk also tells us that if the owner is having trouble loading the animal, so one is obligated to go and help the person load the animal. Now the Gemara makes a distinction, at least according to most Tanayim, that if to help unload the animal, one is responsible to do that for free. And to help load the animal, one only is required to do that if they're going to be offered some money for it. So the Gemara makes that point because it has the following question. This is on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph in Maseches Bava Metzia, where it says that we have this mitzvah of Prika and this mitzvah of Te'ina. Why do I need both? What's the purpose of having both mitzvahs? And we should be able to learn it out from a Kal V'Chomer. What would that Kal V'Chomer be? So the Gemara says, if we have a mitzvah to load the animals just because the owner needs help, removing the burden from the animals, so that includes the idea of Tsar Bali Chaim. So Kal V'Chomer, you should be obligated to remove the burdens from the animals. So why do I have the separate mitzvah mentioned by removing the burden of the animals? So the Gemara there suggests that idea, that when it comes to removing the load from the animals, that you have to do for free, and when it comes to loading the animals, that you only have to do if you're going to get paid. That's what's taught out by those two psukim. But what the underlying assumption there is that the reason you can learn out a Kal V'Chomer, the reason you can learn out and say, I shouldn't need a mitzvah to unload, because obviously if there's a mitzvah to load, there obviously is a mitzvah to unload. So that's all based on the premise that there is such a halacha called Tsar Bali Chaim. And not only that, but it's based on the premise that Tsar Bali Chaim is an idea found in the Torah itself. The Torah itself is teaching us that din of Tsar Bali Chaim by way of this Kal V'Chomer. Now, it's a little... So that concept exists. Now the next Amud of the Gemara, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, then raises the question of, by the way, is Tsar Bali Chaim a din d'oraisa, or is it a din d'rabbanan? Is it a biblical law, or is it a rabbinic law? And the Gemara then has discussions back and forth. So the way the Gemara would learn it out to be a biblical law is based on these psukim, the conflict, but the comparison of the mitzvah of loading and the mitzvah of unloading leads one to the conclusion that there would be a distinction between the two of them, that distinction being the mitzvah of a Tsar Bali Chaim. That is suggested by most Rishonim. There is a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, where the Rambam suggests a different example from the Torah itself, where we see very clearly that there is a mitzvah of Tsar Bali Chaim found in the Torah. It's one of the stories in Chumash. Can anybody think of what that story would be?
I can think of, you're supposed to feed your animals before we eat. And another one is mixing species.
Yeah. So, okay, one second. Mixing species, that might just be a din of Shachtas, meaning we learned you're not supposed to mix wool and linen together. It's not because we have Rachmanis on the wool or the linen. Right? So,
an ox and a horse.
Right, so that they don't bug each other while they're in the thing together. Right, that's true.
Sending them on the bird away.
That's true, right? So all of those are not necessarily. I mean, all those. Rashi himself actually uses this terminology of Darshin and Taima Dekra, that is figuring out the reason of the mitzvah. Meaning, by the way, first of all, just to make clear, Sam was right. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim learns the idea of Tzar Bali Chaim from Bilam. The fact that Bilam is taken to task for smacking the donkey, so we see what? That there's a prohibition in smacking the donkey. That's what the Rambam says. But in terms of those halachas that you just quoted, that a few people here, Shiluach HaKein, not putting them together, feeding them, make sure they get fed first. So all of the what you're all guilty of is what we call Darshin and Taima Dekra, figuring out the reason of a mitzvah based on the mitzvah, making an assumption about what the reason is. So based on just what we know about the facts of the mitzvah. So I don't think by any of those places does it say you have to make sure to feed your animal first, because otherwise you're being a really cruel person, and don't you know that you can't be mean to animals? Right? It doesn't say it there. It just is a mitzvah itself. So we generally, in the Orthodox denomination, don't do Darshin and Taima Dekra, at least in a lemaisa way. Meaning, if you learn the book Sefer HaChinuch, so every mitzvah, Sefer Chinuch actually yesterday we had a bat mitzvah actually here downstairs. I was at a bat mitzvah and the girl, the bat mitzvah girl, said that last year she went with the school with TA on a trip, and everybody got a Sefer Chinuch. And she learned the Sefer HaChinuch very well, and she wants to give her talk about, you know, things that she learned from the Sefer HaChinuch. So the person sitting next to me leans over to me and says, if she could name the author of the Sefer HaChinuch, I'd be really impressed. And that is because we don't know who the author of the Sefer HaChinuch is. We know that it is a Rishon, somebody from the 13th century, that learned it with his children. But beyond that, we don't know. I think there was a rumor for a while that it was written by the Ra'a, who was one of the main arguers on the Rashba, but either that was debunked or was never proven. I find it hard to, just knowing the Ra'a's personality from the way he takes on other people, I find it hard to believe that he'd write the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a nice, calm book, and the Ra'a is a fiery individual in terms of the machlukasim that he had. But anyways, regardless, So to make assumptions that, so he writes there pretty much every mitzvah, he says, Mishar She Mitzvah Zu, the source of the ideal, the root of this mitzvah is the following. And he gives you a hypothesis as to what the moral lesson is that we're supposed to learn from each mitzvah. However, what? Except some of them, he says that the reason behind this mitzvah is that we don't know and we have to recognize that we have that kind of thing. But the Shabbos itself, the Ramban gives a reason for Shabbos. The Ramban says that we have a natural world and we're not supposed to be messing with God's natural world, which is what Shabbos would represent. Now, the flip side of that is that we do that all the time. That's you know, then we should have bris milah then, right? So because you're messing with Hashem's natural world. So you have to work that out. But the Ramban does give svara for shatnas. But anyway, so to make that assumption about all of those mitzvahs regarding animals, that, oh, it's all rooted in the idea of Tzar Bali Chaim, so that's not necessarily, you don't necessarily want to go there. Because that is making assumptions about mitzvah. Remember, there is a machlokas in the Gemara about whether we do this, whether we do what we call Darshin Taim of the Kvar or not. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's Rabbi Shimon against the rest of the world. That everybody holds Ein Darshin and Taim of the Kra, and Rabbi Shimon holds Darshin and Taim of the Kra. So it's there, it's regarding the mitzvah of a king not to have too many wives, and he makes this, is it low plug, or is there a reason behind it? So I remember one time Rav Shechter was discussing this year, and he commented that if Rav Shimon was alive today, he'd be a Reform rabbi. Because he's giving all the reasons, then paskening based on those reasons, right? He's saying, oh, because this is the reason, therefore Shlomo HaMelech was able to be makel and things like that, even though it's the opposite Gemara, whatever. But he's paskening based on those reasons. So when I was in Rosh Hashanah at that time, so Rosh Hashanah, he was at a desk, right? And I used to have my desk right over here on the right side of the desk, so sort of the rest of the shir could sort of see my face. And the way the story is told over is that Rosh Hashanah made this line, which was pretty wild. Everybody found it pretty extreme. And you should have seen Yoni Gross's face when he made that line, because he was in full view of the rest of this year. Anyways. Okay, so the Gemara has a question about whether Tzar Balei Chaim is D'oraisa D'Rabbanan, but it is a bit odd that there is no source for it. I mean, the Gemara never actually discusses, it says, oh, and what pasuk do you learn it out from? It never actually does that. What?
But in Bereishis, where it says that that man should rule over the fish of the sea and the sky and everything that moves.
Right.
It's interpreted as being to protect the guard.
Interpreted by some to guard, but that does play a role. But the role that that pasuk plays is really the opposite. That's saying that we don't have to be so strict about Tzar Balei Chaim because we're in charge of them. We'll get to that pasuk later, but we don't learn out Tzar Balei Chaim from there. That would be an interpretation of it, which the Gemara would then have to say, which the Gemara doesn't say. So you're not able to really use that. So there is an essay which we quoted. I quote. It's in the fifth volume in the Minchas Asher. The Rav Asher Weiss in the fifth volume of the Minchas Asher Sanchumish, meaning namely that on Devarim. So he discusses a concept which I discussed in the Shabbos Agadol Drasha last year. And Devarim is the one volume of Minchas Asher that I don't have at my house, but they have it here. But I had that copy on the source sheet. So I looked at my source sheet to find it, and I think I wrote down the wrong thing, or the wrong thing is on the source sheet, because I wasn't able to find it this morning. But the Minchas Asher, from what I recall, has someplace in Devarim, has an essay where he discusses the ideas of Ratzon Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there are certain mitzvahs that we just get a feeling from the Chumash that Hashem wants us to do. That if we learn Chumash with an open eye towards figuring out what is the Ratzon Hashem, so we'll get the idea that there are certain mitzvahs that exist, even though they're not necessarily printed in the text itself. So the reason we discussed this during the Shabbos Agadol Drasha was the topic then was regarding, does one have to be in Yerushalayim in order to bring the Korban Pesach? How much preparations does a person have to make beforehand in order to ensure that they're in position to do certain mitzvahs? So over the course of that essay, Rav Asher Weiss discusses this idea. Well, yes, you do have to. The Ratzon Hashem, Hashem wants you to be prepared in order to do mitzvahs. So one of the other examples that he has there of Ratzon Hashem is mitzvah Tzar Balei Chaim. That even that the Gemara has a question whether it's D'oraisa or D'rabbanan. The Gemara never in the context of D'oraisa lays claim to, well, obviously it's D'oraisa because this is what it says in the Chumash. So where is it coming from? In terms of that debate. So it must come from the idea that, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be careful about animals as one gleans from, as one goes through Chumash, one can understand that that idea certainly exists over the course of Chumash. So how do we paskin in terms of, is it D'oraisa or is it D'rabbanan? Is it biblical or is it rabbinic? And why does it matter? So it does matter. There is a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis that discusses the idea of that talks about an animal that gets trapped in a brook or trapped in a pit over the course of Shabbos. So the Gemara there says that one is permitted to put pillows and blankets and things like that under the animal, that the animal will be able to climb up and get out. So the Gemara says, why do you have to do that? Why don't you just feed the... the premise is, by the way, is that animals are mooks on Shabbos. So you can't just pick up the animal in order to get it out of the thing. So you put things underneath it in order for that it's able to then climb up and get out of it. So the Gemara itself says, why do we have to do that? Why don't we just feed the animal, let it survive there over the course of Shabbos, and then we'll take it out? So the Gemara comments, well, you're not going to be able to do that. If you could do that, fine. But if not, maybe karmu ksasus maniach tatach. You should bring pillows and cushions and place it under it. So Gemara asks, but wait a second. V'hakam vatel kli mehechano. You are nullifying a kli, a vessel, from what it was supposed to be. Who cares? Who cares? So that's under the...
Is it going to be a trap?
That, no.
It's a gourd.
It's a kli.
Oh, it was a trap. It was a brook.
Was an animal trap.
No, whatever it was, it could have been that, or it could have been a river or a brook or okay. Some other ditch that it fell into.
That's what you're modifying. The clay,
that. Yeah. So you're changing. Well, you're not. You're you're it's called mevatel kli meichano. Like you had a kli, it's supposed to be used as a pillow for you to take your Shabbos shulafan, and instead you're dropping it into the river and using it for the animal to get out. So that itself is a violation of muksa. That's in the muksa category, is to take things and just destroy them over the course of Shabbos, or use them for things that they're not supposed to be used for. So the Gemara asks, isn't that then a problem of being mevatel kli meichano? And the Gemara answers, no, some revata kli meichano durabanan, and sar balei chayim is deoraisa. He says, yes, it's true, it is, you are being mevatel kli, but that's only a violation of a din durabanan. That's only a rabbinic law. In order to save the animals, sar balei chayim, that's on the level of deoraisa, va'asi deoraisa v'dachi durabanan. So therefore comes the din deoraisa of sar balei chayim, and that trumps the rabbinic law of being mevatel kli meichano, of nullifying the kli from what it was supposed to be for.
What's so, the sword?
Question? We don't know. I mean, so it's unclear what the source. Where does he get that from? So the notes here say, yeah, that's discussed in the sugya in Maseches Bava Metzia. But if you look up the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Gemara there is inconclusive as to what the Pesach is. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch. So many want to say that we paskin that Tzar Balei Chaim is Doraisa because the Gemara in Shabbos seems to assume that way. Whatever the source is in Maseches Bava Metzia to have that dispute, the Gemara in Shabbos is paskining that question. They have a dispute in one place, inconclusive, but if another Gemara paskins that way, it is conclusive. And that, by the way, is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Hei, Sif Katan Yud Ches, it says, sorry, in Sifkas Yud Tes, Behima Shenafel Emes Amayim, if an animal falls into a brook, Im Amayim Amukim, Ufnekach Enu Yachel, Afarnasim B'makomon, if the brook is so deep that you're not going to be able to feed it in the place that it's at, maybe Karmuksasos, Venosim Tachtecha, Mishum Tsar Bali Chayim, that you'll take the pillows and cushions and place it underneath it, so that and that's permissible because of Tsar Bali Chayim, even though Mevatel Kli Meichano, even though you're going to be in violation of this din in Muksa. Now I just had the following ha'ara. Correct. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Gemara in Shabbos says. Now, I just had the point that that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to paskin that it's a din d'oraisa. One could still say it's a din d'rabbanan, and it's a suffix how we paskin. But what's our rule when we talk about rabbinic law? Rabbinic law, we say, suffik derabanan lakula. One has the right to paskin leniently. So even though you put the gun to the head, is tsar balei chayim deraisa derabanan, the person might say, well, regardless, you're violating it right now by putting a gun to my head. But his answer also is going to be, we're not sure, but tsar balei chayim is not doche any dine deraisa. We don't say that, oh, because of tsar balei chayim, therefore you could take the animal to the hospital on Shabbos. Right? We don't say that. We just say that one is permitted to violate this din d'rabbanan. Now it's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah points out that says that what did the Gemara not allow you to do? The Gemara did not allow you to climb into the river and schlep the animal out. Why not? Why can't you go ahead and do that? Because the animal's muksa. So the Mishnah Berurah claims that only some halachos of muksa were set aside. That not all laws of muksa are created equal. Some are worse than others. To pick the animal up, that would be a problem. But mevatel kli meichano, that would be permissible. And he also, although the Mishnah Berurah says that's a machlokas, that seems to be the way that he paskins. And beyond that, the Mishnah Berurah also points out that what would be the very best thing to do? A different durabanan to violate. What would be a better rabbinic prohibition to violate? Amir la'akum, asking a non-Jew to do it. A non-Jew is the lowest of all dini durabanan on Shabbos, because the Gemara says you're not actually doing anything. You're just using your words. So that's always going to be the first option rather than violate another rabbinic law. Okay. So just a few other notes that I came across in looking around on issues of Tsar Balei Chaim, that the Nimuke Yosef points out that you're only allowed to violate it if the animal is in great distress. What's his proof? That a little bit of distress for an animal is not so bad. It's only if it's in great distress. What's his proof? So his proof is this Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos. Because the Gemara in Shabbos first suggests give it food. and let it stay there over the course of Shabbos. Now, do you think a horse is very going to be thrilled about sitting in a brook for all of Shabbos, even though you're going to be feeding it carrots? You're going to be throwing carrots at its mouth? Right, so that doesn't sound so great for the horse, but yet still, that's better than being in the middle there and dying. So we would go with a lower level thing, even though it means that there's going to be some amount of Tzar Bali Chaim that's going to be suffered by the animal. There is also a famous teshuva. There was a famous tshuva of the Noda Yehuda, my Alter Zaidi, where he was asked about hunting. Is hunting permissible ever or not? Does he like it? Is it a good idea or not? And it's an interesting tshuva because it's one of those where he's kind of like uncomfortable with it. Like he wants to come up with a reason why it's prohibited, but he can't really put his finger on why it's prohibited. So one of the things he brings up is Tzar Bali Chaim. Is it a violation of Tzar Bali Chaim to go hunting? To which he says, no, why not? It's Tzar Bali Chaim. What?
There's no pain.
Because it's dead. Yeah. Because it's dead, so therefore it's not going to be... Tzar Bali Chaim is only causing it pain, not actually going in and killing the animal. Yeah, so he doesn't address that issue. Right. He doesn't address that. But Tzar Bali Chaim, probably the real reason for that is that any Tzar Bali Chaim for the benefit of a person is okay. Meaning one is permitted to...
So you could kill them and then sell the meat to a goy.
You could say something like
you
that.
You made a parnassa out of
it. Yeah.
Like trapping.
Right.
I mean, trapping was a big thing years ago.
It still is. I remember as a bacher when I was in yeshiva in Mivaseret, when I was a dorm counselor there, we had a Shabbaton in Bnei Brak. So everybody on Friday night, they, I don't know how they did this, but they put everybody in different houses in Bnei Brak. We went to a different place. So me and another dorm counselor, we were like the odd man out. So we went to one person by ourselves. Remember the last name actually was Gross. And we walked into this apartment. It was a beautiful apartment overlooking all of Bnei Brak. And it was a young couple. Like they just got married. They probably might have been younger than me for all I knew at that time. 22, 23. You know, very young couple and beautiful apartment. So what? And they spoke English. So, what came out? This fellow's parents from Belgium and were involved in the fur trade, in the strimal fur trade. That's how they get all the strimals from. That was his business. And, that was interesting. I remember all these other guys coming back like, yeah, oh man, we had this, like, we got a piece of chicken and the other kids couldn't have, and they were like staring at it, like they had all those stories, and we had a wonderful meal. All right, so by the way, how does that Noda Yehuda conclude, by the way? So Noda Yehuda discussing the issue of hunting, so he knocks out all the halachic arguments against it, but he then says, but if you look in Tanakh, who are the only hunters in Tanakh? Nimrod, Esav. It doesn't seem like it's a very Yiddish thing to do.
Trapped the animal, and then he finally made out of their skins. He made like parchments for Torah.
She's talking about.
He's a trapper.
Yeah. There is one more, one other issue, and that is I think I heard it on a shear. What? He said, I can't say that it's usher for any technical reason, but I don't think it's a good thing for Jews to do. That tshuva is like invoked by people there, you know, when the issue of Jews in boxing, that tshuva is like discussed, or Jews playing tackle football, that tshuva is brought up, whether it's a good idea or not a good idea. There is one further issue, is that, remember when I was in yeshiva, so there was somebody from the Soloveitchik family was my neighbor in the dorm, and there was a mouse that came in. I remember there was a mouse for a while. I didn't really mind it, but then one day I came into my room and this fellow is standing on a chair in my room, scared. I just saw a mouse, so then he went out and bought a few traps, the glue traps, and then we caught it within like 2 hours, and it's still alive and it's squirming and stuff. And at that point, I freaked out. I don't that part I can't deal. I don't mind it crawling around the floor, but that I couldn't deal with it. So this fellow said, "But it's Tzar Bali Chaim to keep it alive." So he went and he drowned it. So, but that's better than...
You drowned it?
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Put it in the toilet.
No? Classic.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
It's better than the alternative. In other words, squirming down there. All right, anyway, so...
That's a classic way.
So someone else from that family mentioned that he had one time caught a mouse and mentioned it to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who had said that, so you're a Rotzeach now. Now you're a murderer now. So what was exactly was he driving at? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about these catching critters and things like that, and he concludes by saying about mikol makom efshar toshul yahargim biyadav mamish, that it's best if you don't actually kill it with your hands itself. Elidei hanachas davar ahorga, maybe you put something else on it that will kill it or something, because it's best to kind of keep your hands somewhat clean from these kinds of things. So it is permissible to take them out rather than having them be around the house. You are permitted to use them in order to learn medical advancement. That's where that pasuk in Noach comes in, that the animals are meant to serve us, so that's part of serving us. You're allowed to ride animals because that's what they're there for, even though technically that could in theory be Tzar Bali Chaim also. So we pass that all those things are permissible. Certainly one is getting benefit from it, but certainly we are supposed to be sensitive and not use them for no reason at all. And just driving the animals crazy, so that is obviously inappropriate, and therefore that would be what the violation is of Tzar Bali Chaim. Okay, this will stop here. See, Rezefren is here.